Good morning. 00 hours. Mostly cloudy. 19 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 20 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Cloudy. 16 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 18 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 16 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 14 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 14 degrees.
K8LDF, K8RBC.
Good morning. 07 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 12 degrees.
KZG.
Good morning. 08 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 10 degrees. Good morning. 09 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 15 degrees. Good morning. 10 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 14 degrees. Good morning. 11 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 14 degrees. Thank you.
WHSFR radio check.
Good afternoon. 1200 hours. Cloudy. 15 degrees.
W8SFR radio check.
It's perfect, Ryan. Have a good day. N8XP.
Thank you, 73 W8FFR clear.
Good afternoon, 1300 hours. Cloudy, 15 degrees. Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Mostly cloudy. 15 degrees. Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Mostly cloudy. 13 degrees.
Foxtrot Romeo, monitoring.
Good afternoon, 1600 hours. Partly sunny, 14 degrees.
Station calling. This is K8EPL. Can you try your transmission again? I was getting a lot of feedback interference. Sounded like what if your speaker too close to your microphone?
Good afternoon, 1700 hours, mostly cloudy, 12 degrees. Good evening, 1800 hours. Mostly cloudy. 10 degrees.
Alpha Charlie Zulu, CQ. KFA, Delta Charlie Zulu. Is there anybody awake in here?
This is K8EPL Mobile.
K8EPL Mobile. Well, good to hear from you. Seems like this repeater is awful quiet most of the time. My name is Tom. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Delta Charlie Zulu. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just driving home out in the Davison area. I'm just trying to get home, having a little bit of a asthma attack and feeling really busy. And I'm like 10 minutes from home. I got medication that I can take at home, you know, but part of me is thinking about going to the hospital, but I don't know. K8EPL.
Well, you said a lot right there. This might be a good time to go to the hospital. It's a Monday afternoon on President's Day. It should be smooth sailing and get seen right away rather than wait till the weekend or you get worse or too bad to treat. Maybe you could just get a breathing treatment and send you on your way.
Yeah, well, you know, I know that the nearest hospital is about 15 minutes away, and I'm less than 10 minutes away from home, and I have a nebulizer and nebulizer medication at home. So that's kind of my rationale right now. I just feel really lightheaded, dizzy, and short of breath, but I am monitoring my oxygen. But, you know, I'm just trying to get home.
Safe travels to you. I hope you get home without any incidents. If you feel like you're going to pass out, you might have to pull over and catch your breath, maybe. I'm not sure how that works.
I think it's best that I just keep on going. In the past, I did take first responder training, so I know a little bit of what to look for and all of that. But if it gets too bad, I definitely will stop. I won't not stop and call for help if I need it, but I'm just trying to get home.
How much longer do you have?
Five point nine miles. I'll be home in about 8 minutes.
Well, that's good. You don't sound too bad. You don't sound like you're out of breath or gasping for air or anything. So maybe once you get home and get your nebulizer, you'll be okay. Just went through Davison. The traffic pretty light, so I don't think it'll hold you up any. Well, I ain't gonna make you talk. You have a safe trip. I'll be listening on the radio if you do need some help. I can turn around and come back towards Davison and maybe get you home if I have to. KFA, Delta Charlie Zulu.
Thanks for the heads up. Thanks for your willingness to help. I'm driving northbound on Irish Road. And I live on Irish Road, and I just got another 4.7 miles to go. So it's literally a straight shot for me. I just got to be patient.
Yeah, it's too bad you can't keep those in your car. I know they probably freeze with the 10-degree weather we're experiencing right now. I don't know if there's something you could store in your car. Probably not. Yeah, so 5 minutes, 5 minutes away from home, you'll be all right. I'm trying to think of Irish Road. Well, at least it's paved. I think it's paved over there.
Yeah, it's paved. Same road as Myers is on. The intersection of Irish Road and Lapeer Road, and I-69, right in that corner there. And I'm north of that, about 6-7 miles. So, but it's all paved all the way through, so I'll be home soon. K-8-EPL.
Safe travels to you. Glad to be home soon. KFA, Delta, Charlie, Zulu.
K-8-EPL. Call sign Kilo Charlie 8. Delta Charlie Zulu, this is K8EPL.
Hey, that was pretty close. Did you make it home?
Yeah, I just want to let you know I made it home safely. Thanks for standing by. K8EPL.
Sorry you were having difficulty. Glad you're all right. The name is Tom, call sign Kilo, Foxtrot 8, Delta Charlie.
All right, I'll try to remember that for next time. I'll chat with you later. K8EPL, 73s. K8EPL, out.
All right, K8EPL, out. You have a, I hope you get your medicine all right, and you have a wonderful evening. 73. KF8, DC Zulu.
Hello, Foxtrot 8, starting to move in and testing.
KD8, WS Mobile, it's working.
Alright, thanks for the report, guys. You can make sure this is working. I just need to make sure the audio is easy. I don't know what it is. Is this loose audio?
If you stay up close to the mic, you'll be fine. You have a little bit of noise on your signal in the background, but as long as you stay up on the mic, I can understand what you're saying. This is KD8IWS Mobile in Fenton. What's your QTH?
I am currently located in the Meyer parking lot right now in West Saginaw, the highway store in Lansing. It's on West Saginaw. I think it's, yeah, Saginaw Highway. You can name it the street. It's a few hundred meters from me. It looks like a few hundred feet. A few bars. I'm out of Meyer parking lot right now. This is KFACLL.
Okay, that was much better on your audio, so if you maintain that position when you speak, then there was a significant difference in your audio. It sounded very good.
To be honest with you, I did turn the mic gain up a little higher, so that way I could get, so I could keep it to the same distance for the microphone, but it's still working now, so... Yeah,
yep, you're doing good. I just pulled in the driveway at my QTH in Fenton. You have a good evening and enjoy ham radio. 73, my friend. Have a good remainder of the week. This is KD8IWS Mobile in Fenton. Clear on your final, 73.
Thank you. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Charlie Delta November monitoring.
KFA AYL monitoring.
WSEY.
KFA AYL NACLC. I see you made it home. Okay.
NAVLC, yes. Yeah, I made it home, as I always do. that was a bit of a brutal drive. That was the whole way, the whole 8 hours, was just snow and ice, freezing. Yeah, there was freezing. It was 24 degrees and freezing rain. I'm not sure what was going on there, but it was it is what it is, and I just got to pick my way through it, but... Yeah, I'm home.
Yeah, I hollered for you a little bit later just to see if you had made it home okay and didn't hear anything, but I kind of figured you did. But, oh, my gosh, Terry and I were talking. It's he's telling that there's freezing rain accumulating on the corners of the windshield, and there he is. He's counting cars in the ditch, and he's driving in the dark. So, we were just both hoping a safe journey for you.
Good evening, 1900
hours. Well, I appreciate
hours.
Those sentiments.
Mostly cloudy.
For sure. Thank you.
7 degrees.
I've driven in worse, but yeah, that was one of the more brutal drives in recent history anyway. Yeah, I don't know what was going on. It was freezing rain, and it was 24 degrees. The truck kept telling me it was 24 degrees. I'm like, how is it freezing rain at 24 degrees? I guess it's really warm, not too far up in the atmosphere here, but I guess that's what it was.
Well, I'm sitting here, and I've got the Weather Channel on, and I'm looking at it, and I'm... looking at how the UP is just going to get hammered all over again. So I think you made it home in just the nick of time.
No, you're wrong. I think I came home at the wrong time. I love being there when it's just snowing. I love, it actually pained me to leave there, Vicki. It actually pains me. Yeah, it's those days are great. It's just snowing every day, and you get 2 inches or 6 inches every day. Every day you got to go out and clear your snowmobile off to move it. And I don't know. I think I'm just wired a little bit differently. I just love the snow and the cold, the 20 degrees, the 15 degrees. It's just perfect for me. I love it.
Well, I was kind of thinking as far as coming home in it and that sort of thing. Now, if you're up there and stuck in it, no, see, I don't mind that either. Everybody wants to move to Florida for the winter. It's like, you can't pay me to move to Florida any time of the year. I like it up here.
Yeah, I'm with you on that sentiment. I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day. He's like, we're going to Florida. I'm like, Florida? Yeah, it was a friend of mine who's never been to Florida before, actually. And I'm like, why are you going to Florida? And he's got a place in the UP as well. And I'm like, you're going to Florida, really? He's like, yeah, well, I'm like, why are you going to Florida? He's like, oh, there's sun, it's warm. I don't know, man. You couldn't pay me to go to Florida. I'm with you. No, thank you.
No, I've been there a couple of times, and that was enough for me. But there's a friend of ours that we went to school with him, and he moved down there. And he's like, oh, man, I'll take hurricanes over a big snowstorm any day. I'm thinking, you're out of your mind. I can hunker down in a snowstorm, but a hurricane's going to blow you away and cause lots of damage. The snow's going to melt eventually. But I thought, no way. I don't know. No, I have no use for Florida.
Yeah, I'd agree with you 100%. Hurricanes, you got to evacuate, board up your windows, do a bunch of crap. Yeah, snowstorm, you just, all right, yeah, I can just sit here and watch my wood stove burn away, and I'm happy.
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, there's no thinking about that one. But, I'm perfectly happy up here. I could move to the UP in a heartbeat, and it wouldn't bother me a bit. But I don't know that we'll ever get it. But, we're so entrenched in this place right now after all the years we've been here. But Terry's pointing at me, he says, and we're getting old. I guess that's all a matter of the way you're thinking.
You're only old if you think you're old.
Well, I don't think I'm old, but my body thinks, it says, I can't believe you're still moving. No, we're doing okay for a couple of parts.
Oh, the body talks, but you can overcome that. You can overcome it. I've been building that barn up north, and yeah, I'm in my 50s, and I'm like, yeah, the body's talking. I can't do what I did when I was in my 20s, but I can do this. I just need to regulate it a little bit differently, and it's okay. I can accomplish this. I'm good, and it's good for me.
Yeah, I finally talked him into getting a snowblower last year because he's out there, you know, he's shoveling this, he's shoveling that, and it's like, why don't you get a snow? I have been trying to talk him into it for years, and I finally, I think I must have beat him over the head enough with it, and he finally went out and got one, and I think he's pretty happy that he's got it now. He says, I'm not shoveling down to the chicken coop, I just pull out the snowblower and make a path, and it's like, duh. So, but he still uses the tractor for the driveway. He was out there with a snowblower the other day. He says, well, I'll never do that again. I says, oh, wasn't as much fun as you thought it was going to be? So yeah, now today his body is talking.
Yeah, there are definitely certain things that once you get them, you never go back. I bought a car several years back that had a heated steering wheel, and now my wife won't forgive me for it. Every time I drive her car, I'm like, oh man, my hands are cold. This car doesn't have a heated steering wheel. I need the heated steering wheel. It seemed like the stupidest option ever, but I'm like, I love that heated steering wheel. I just love it. And I drive her car, I'm like, man, she's like, I know you're going to complain about the heated steering wheel. There's lack of, but yeah, there's certain things that go like that.
Well, we had an incident where we traveled to Canada for a 3-day festival that we like to attend. Never been back, but woke up one morning and looked out our hotel window, and our truck had been stolen. So I'll make a very long story very short. We finally made it home, but we had to buy a new truck. And so we're all over the internet, and we're looking at all the dealerships, and we finally, excuse me, found one, brought it home, but it had all the bells and whistles, and I thought, you know, this is just ridiculous. It's got heated and air-conditioned seats. How stupid is that? And I'm here to tell you, I really like those. Like the first button I push in the winter and the first button I push in the summertime, those air-conditioned seats are wonderful.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. The same car I got that has the heated steering wheel also has ventilated front and rear seats, actually. But yeah, in the wintertime you hit the heated part. In the summertime, Oh, yeah. That car is hot when you open the door and you hit that ventilated seat button. It's like, oh, it's like I'm not sitting down on a 1970s vinyl seat and getting burned anymore.
That's for sure. I'm here to tell you that is living. You know, whoever dreamt that up was brilliant. You know, and I always thought, well, that's just kind of dumb. We don't need all this stuff, but you just, you try it and you're sold. Yeah, the heated steering wheels are pretty nice too, so. So did you get a lot of work done when you were up in the UT, or were you just playing?
It's winter time, so I can't do a lot of work, so I was just playing. But I did a lot of planning as well, so. But I mostly just played, I'll be honest.
NACLC. Well, didn't you tell me that you got your barn enclosed before the weather set in?
KFAYL. No, I have the posts. All the posts are in, and I got all the wall girts on, interior and exterior. I got bookshelf interior wall girts and the exterior girts for the metal. But no, it's not enclosed. It's sitting there with just the posts and all the wall girts on.
Well, maybe I was just doing some wishful thinking for you.
Wishful thinking for you and me. Several friends of mine are like, just go get the trusses and steel. I'm like, that's going to be another, like, month. And I'm like, it's already November. And I'm like, the snow is coming. The snow is already coming then. And I'm like, I need to stop. I'm not putting trusses on and having them hang out all winter without steel. So there's no way both of those are happening. I just need to stop. I'll pick it up in the spring.
Yeah, I remember a conversation where you said you had, did you purchase the trusses or you were going to? I thought you already bought them.
Nope, I have not ordered the trusses yet. I have a supplier where I've submitted several truss designs through, so I submitted what I needed, and they give me the design back. I send it through my system of, I got a couple buddies who are structural engineers, and so I have them look at it, we haven't quite settled on a truss design yet, but it's gone through a few iterations, so maybe I mentioned that I was looking at trusses and I got a few designs, but no, I have not ordered trusses yet. Once you order them, they're going to come within 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, and then they're going to be sitting there, so you need to get them up pretty much as soon as they come. Otherwise, they're going to start getting warping or doing whatever. You're sitting on the ground, you don't want them doing that for too long.
No, that's a fact. Terry was helping his brother. He's got a cabin up by Central Lake, and he's redoing it and putting an addition on. And so he was helping his brother get that all closed in and put the roof on, and because, yeah, exactly, you want everything as closed up and done as possible before the winter sets in. And they got it in pretty good shape. I'm really pleased about the work that they were able to accomplish. So, yeah, I imagine you're going to be a busy boy next spring. So what were you doing planning, just snowmobiling?
Snowmobiling, doing a lot of snowshoeing, and just kind of generally relaxing, because it's kind of the only time of year I get to relax, so. Yeah, just sit and watch the wood stove with the snow outside. Yeah, that's great.
You must not have any animals at home, right? Do you have a, you've got property, do you have a farm type of thing, or she must not have any animals.
No, no, no farm. We have two cats, but my wife was at home. She wasn't with me on this last trip, so she was home with the cats.
You went up there all by yourself, or did you have a buddy go with you?
All by myself. I guess you make that sound like it's a bad thing.
No, not a bad thing, but, you know, I would be worried sick about you get up in the middle of nowhere and you could fall through the ice and disappear and nobody would ever hear from you again. And, that's the way a female alien thinks.
Well, I do carry my ham radio, which is unlocked and can operate on any frequency, VHF or UHF, including aviation and other frequencies, but of course I would never transmit on that unless it was an emergency. But I also have a what's called a PLB, a personal locator beacon. It's kind of like a boat EPIRB that uses the same 4 or 6 megahertz emergency frequencies, and you don't have to do anything aside from pull it off and press the button, and then the Coast Guard's going to come, or a rescue team's going to come, or do whatever. So if you get into trouble, you pull the beacon off, press the button, somebody's going to come within a few hours and do something. It's a great little device. It costs about $250. The battery, it's got a permanent battery for 5 years, so it's like $200 every 5 years. Cheap insurance, as far as I'm concerned.
That's a great idea. No, I don't disagree with you about that at all. It's funny because Terry will be walking out to the back of our property, check out the deer blind, and, you know, snows up to our waist out there. And I said, well, you better call me when you get back in so I don't have to turn myself out there to find you laying in a heap in the snow and the coyotes chewing on your leg. So, he's pointing at me again. He says, he's still thinking about getting one of those trackers. And I said, you really want me to be able to track you, huh? So, no, it's funny. We have this ongoing thing where I just check on them every now and again because we wake up, we spend a couple hours together in the morning, and then we don't see each other but moments throughout the day. It's like, I just need to know that you're okay, old man. What are you doing?
Yeah, I hear you. But the PLB is not a tracker. It's not one of those. I mean, there's several of those. I won't talk about those, but the PLBs are actually using the 406 megahertz emergency thing. It's a one-way thing. You have to activate it. So you have to do something. So if you get in trouble, if you break your leg, or you know, your entire need of, it's a life insurance, you know, property kind of thing. But you have to pull it off, and you have to push a button to say activate, and then it goes off. But it's only one way. It transmits your GPS coordinates, and it transmits the help signal, obviously. But it doesn't go the other way. Like they can't track it. They can only see what you transmitted, and then come to you based on that. No, it's not a tracker, which I think is a great system.
Yeah, is it like Terry's saying it's a spot locator? Now, what do you think? It's a PL, like Papa Lima Bravo, PLB or POB?
Yeah, PLB, Papa Lima Bravo. There's not a whole lot of them out there because it's kind of a device. They're actually really popular in Europe and Australia, but they're not really popular here in the States. But they have them. The company is ACL, I think. I'd have to pull it off and look at it again. It's been a few years since I looked at it, but it's the personal locator beacon is what it's called.
Well, I'm sure he'll be online looking that up in the next few hours. So that's something he's been pretty interested in for a while.
Well, like I said, it uses the same exact system as a boat. Like if you have boats, if you know what an EPIRB is on a boat, where, you know, that's mandatory for commercial vessels to have an EPIRB on a boat. If it goes down, when it touches water, it automatically goes off. But it uses that same system where it's called the 406 megahertz emergency system, where it just sends out the location and emergency distress signal, and then that's going to trigger all kinds of rescue services to come to that location and see what's going on.
NACLC. So is this something that you carry with you all the time? Just slips in your pocket, or do you just basically take it with you when you travel up to the UP?
It's a small device about the size of a phone. I only usually carry it. I carry it at all times when I go around places where I'm by myself and not within. A cell phone is obviously much better. If you have a cell phone, it's kind of the same thing. Because you have to do something, you know, if you get into trouble with the PLB, you gotta pull it out and press the button on it, right? But if you have a cell phone and you're within cell service, then you can obviously just do the same thing and dial 911 and get help. And that's obviously a lot better because it's two-way communication. You can tell them what's going on and tell them what the problem is and tell them exactly where you are or whatever. But since I do a lot of stuff by myself, like go kayaking on Lake Superior and go snowshoeing and snowmobiling by myself a lot of the times in the UP, I always carry it during those times. So if I get into trouble, I can just push that button and I know help is going to come.
Yes, that extra level of protection, you know, security. That's not a bad idea. I agree with it completely.
Yeah, that's what my wife said. But yeah, if you're in areas where you got cell coverage, it's not really necessary because if you got a cell phone, you can just dial 911. But this unit is obviously they're usually a lot more rugged, so if you've gotten into some trouble where your cell phone might have been destroyed or cracked screen or, you know, who knows what, these units will still usually operate. Because all you got to do is pull it out and push that button.
Yeah, and even, you know, even if you just don't have a cell signal, and that's the case where we go up north up by Central Lake and we park our camper up there, and that's where Terry's brother's cabin is, and you have to drive into Central Lake before you can get a signal, and, you know, you think, you need to have something there at camp in case of an emergency. So they've been working on that, and, you know, in the last the last year I've been going up there with the radio, and so we always have the ham radio available, but no, there's no sense in even us turning on our cell phones because it just wears the batteries down looking for a signal. So, they're trying to come up with something. They finally got an internet service, so that would help. You know, if you do some internet Wi-Fi calling or whatever, but you need that. You need that security, that protection.
Yes, as far as I'm concerned, it's like a $250 device and has a 5-6 year battery. You do the tests on it every year, and you pull it out, and there's a test mode for it. You can make sure it's working, and it responds to you that, yeah, it received its emergency signal and whatnot. And as far as I'm concerned, it's cheap insurance.
Well, I reckon your wife is glad to have you home after 3 weeks.
Well, what else is going on there in Lapeer land? Are you guys keeping warm there?
Oh, yeah, we've got a fire in the stove. Everything's toasty. It's cold outside, though, but no, I'm hunkered down. We were out running around today. We had to go down Sterling Heights and on our bi-monthly trip down to Sterling Heights. We go to the chiropractor down there. But that's a long story. He's an excellent guy. I swear he saved my life. But so we go down there every couple weeks and run whatever errands we need to run, but came right back home and tucked in.
Well, it's supposed to get cold this week. It's starting to actually run a little low on wood. I got plenty, but I'm just worried about next year because I'm starting to invade next year's wood is what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, we put up a ton of it this summer. I mean, just a ton. Like to kill me. I tell you, we worked and worked, and I got to the point where I said, dear, I'm sorry, I just can't do any more today. But it took us a week to put it all, you know, get it all split and stacked. But we're sitting pretty good, and we'll probably get another load next year. Now, do you cut all your own on your property?
Yeah, that's affirmative. We do. It's all pretty much deadwood. I haven't cut a live tree in quite a while on this property.
Yeah, our property's all pretty much farmland, so we get a couple of loads in every year, at least one. This past summer, we got two, and they were enormous loads. But we pretty much burned everything that we could of our own. And every couple of years, you know, you get a tree that blows over, and we go clean it up and, you know, stick it in the stove, but for the most part, we've got farmland, pasture and farmland.
Yeah, I hear you. That's a different environment from here. I'm in the middle of the woods, so there's always plenty of deadwood, but yeah, when I was actually up north and I burning the wood stove up there because I'd clear out a bunch of live trees for that barn that I'm building, and I was burning some of that wood because I cleared those trees a year and a half ago or so, and I was like, man, this wood's so much cleaner. It's way less messier. Like I came back down, and I'm like putting wood back in there. I'm like, all this dead wood is like, you know, it's not rotten, but it's, you know, the bark is flaking off, and there's all kinds of crap, you know, there's some, you bring it to the house sometimes, there's bugs that, like, start coming out when it warms up, that kind of thing. It's just like, that live wood is a lot cleaner. Yeah, this wood's a lot dirtier, but whatever, I've been burning it for a long time. It's fine. It's just a note.
As long as it keeps you warm, it's doing its job. But, no, we're, we're doing pretty well. I've just been doing a lot of, I've been working on my genealogy project pretty much the last several days. This is the time of year for me to get it done, but no, I'm trying to put all of our affairs in order and get organized and get some things cleaned out of here and thrown away, donated, whatever. Because, boy, this is the year that by the end of this year, I would like to be very well organized and get rid of a lot of the stuff that I just don't need anymore. I'm trying to just purge.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. My, I'd kind of like to do that, but I don't think I'm in a position to do that right now. My parents are big on that. they don't want anything around that is not useful to them at all. Like, even if it has sentimental value, they're like, yeah, whatever, we need to get rid of it. So they've gone around and labeled everything and yeah, I don't know. It's a that's a project. I hear you on that one.
Well, it's a huge project. It's just it has got me overwhelmed a wee bit. And you start looking. I've got in my one room. I call it my office. It's where my radio is and my computers and all my all my stuff. And it's not that big of a room, and I was amazed how much crap came out of that thing. And just old paperwork, years of tax work and all kinds of stuff. And I had an old shredder, and it crapped out, so I had to buy a new shredder, and I'm shredding, and and I'm not even, I haven't even made a dent. It's like, I don't know what possessed me to save all this stuff. So that's kind of what I'm going through. I've got books, I've got papers, I've got, I mean, just all kinds of things. It just needs to go. And I can't, you start thinking about how embarrassed are you going to be when somebody has to come in and clean all this crap up, you know? That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I hear you. I've thought about that myself. That's for sure. There's a lot of stuff that can go that you don't really need, but it's like, there's some stuff you always just don't want to get rid of. But then a few years pass, and it's like, yeah, I can get rid of that. Yeah, I don't know what it is. How time is the arbitrator of, yeah, it's not okay now, but 5 years from now, yeah, I don't need that anymore. Even though I haven't touched it, it's like I should have gotten rid of it 5 years ago, but now that it's here, it's like, yeah, I need to get rid of it. A lot of people say you need to move a lot. If you're the type that moves around like every couple of years, then that process is automatic because you're not allowed to accumulate stuff because you got to move it. But yeah, that's not me. So yeah, I hear you.
Oh, and then you find something that you haven't seen in those 5 years. And you fall out and say, oh, well, I still really like this, even though you forgot to even add it. So it's a difficult thing. You've got to really, it's like pulling the Band-Aid off. Just, give it to somebody who's going to appreciate it just as much as you do, or you got to do what you got to do. If you're not using it, and if it's just taking off, I got a whole shelf in my closet that's got nothing on it, and it is a beautiful sight.
Yeah, I love that. I love it when
when you can get a shelf and it's clear, and then you just put like one thing on it, and it's like, yeah, that's the way it should look. Yeah, I got room to grow, but I don't want to really put anything there. But there's room if I wanted to. Yeah, I also hear you on the finding stuff. I was just looking for something the other day, and I was digging through some of my old stuff, and I found an old Soapbox Derby belt buckle that I won in the mid-1980s when I was a teenager and doing the Soapbox Derby thing that we were doing then, and I won that as a second place prize or something or whatever, and I looked at this belt buckle, and it's all lead, right? Like, oh, this thing's toxic, right? But I'm like, oh, man, this belt buckle's, I remember this. This is awesome. I can't believe I found this. I didn't even know I had this still. And I took it out, and I put it on my, I have a little shelf with a little mementos with that, and I stuck it on there, and I was like, I'm glad I found this.
You made me laugh. You're talking about your lead belt buckle and how toxic it is. Isn't it amazing that we lived to be this old? I mean, we were drinking out of a hose and, you know, all the stuff that we used to do when we were kids. And, you know, nowadays it's like, oh, my gosh, you can't do this, you can't do that. And I think we all turned out pretty good.
Yeah, there's reasons for everything, but yeah, it is amazing. I actually have an excerpt that I posted online a few times in a couple places from my 1970. I have a 1970 Impala that I have, and I have the original owner's manual with it. The car's only got 60,000 miles on it, so I have the original owner's manual, and the owner's manual in the safety section says, if you have more passengers than are seatbelts available in the rear seat, then you should stand in the center of the rear seat with your head forward. It just reading that wording in the owner's manual of the Chevrolet Impala from 1970 is hilarious. It's like, if they were to print that today, they would be sued right and left.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. You're absolutely right.
Oh, it also has a section on how you should carry your baby bassinet in the rear seat. You should hold it in your lap. That's their statement in the owner's manual.
Wow, I'm surprised that we even continue on as a species, to tell you the truth. You listen to all these manuals that you get now.
Well, even in 1970, they had the safety section that said you should hold your baby in your lap. So, there it is.
Wow, that really is something when you go back and look at that stuff, isn't it? Wow. I mean, it's like plastic bags. You know, some of the stuff, I'm surprised that you have to be told not to put a plastic bag over your head. You know, maybe we should just let the chips fall where they may if you're that dumb. I mean, I probably shouldn't even say that out loud, especially over here, but my goodness.
Yeah, I hear you. It's a... There's a certain sense of common sense, but there is a reason for those safety sections and the owner's manuals, and they've evolved over the years and gotten better, so it's all for the good. That's how you got to think of it.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't hurt to be safe as long as you're reading the safety manuals. I mean, how many people really do that? It's like all the stuff is pops up on your phone and agree to this, agree to that. Nobody reads that stuff. You don't know what you're agreeing to.
Don't even get me started on that kind of stuff. I'm an IT guy, so yeah, you're basically just agreeing to let them
rape you in every way possible that's not actual rape.
Oh, I know. And it's like when you get on online and almost every website that you get on, you got that little thing that pops up and it says, accept the cookies, accept the cookies, accept the cookies. It's like, I accept the cookies, but I'm never getting any cookies. Nobody's ever sending me any cookies. I wonder how many times you have to accept it before you get the cookies.
Oh, NHVLC, how naive you are.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't accept any cookies, right? I keep looking for the cookies, but I'm never getting them. But, no, I rarely do because I don't trust anything out there, and I'm right to do that, correct?
No, the only reason that button exists is so you can hit the reject button. You're allowed to hit the reject button, and the website will still operate because it's still going to use some cookies to operate the actual website, but all the other cookies that anything that you say agree to is tracking, you know, Google, you know, whatever, third-party people being able to access that information of what you picked on. So you should always hit reject as much as you can because the website will still operate without you hitting it accept.
Yeah, for the most part, I think I do. And, I don't trust any of the tracking. I don't like any of it. But the thing is, the websites that I go on, nobody cares. If you get right down to it, I'm kind of boring. And I'm not doing anything subversive, and if somebody wanted to track me, it's like, oh, she's not doing anything we care about. But no, for the most part, I reject everything.
Yeah, you get a pop-up, you say reject, reject, reject. You don't even think about it, just reject. That's all you do. Trust me, that's what you do.
Now, Terry, he's listening in, but he brought up the fact that you can't even, when it comes time to get your ham license, you have to have an email address or else you can't get one. And so he finally ended up getting an email address just so he could get his ham license. No, he's completely off the computers, the Internet. I keep him away from my computer. He's got like this backward energy thing that screws everything up. But no, he's not a computer guy. He has no, social media presence at all.
Well, cheers to Terry. I'm done with that. I actually think you can still get a handy. You can use the FCC thing without an email address. You literally have to do it like you did in 1970, though. You have to mail everything and go back. The only reason you need an email address is to use the website version of it, which is obviously way quicker, way better. It allows you to pay the fee and see that you've been paid and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I'm not actually sure, but I'm pretty sure you can still do it without an email address, but you have to do everything by mail like you used to have to do everything back in the day.
Well, it's too late now. He's got an email address. Every now and again, he'll check it. It's mostly crap, and I show him how to dump it, but he doesn't use it, and so I guess it's no big deal.
Yeah, why even check it if the only place you've ever put it out there is the FEC? Just forget about it and, yeah, forget about it.
Yeah, he pretty much does. Every now and again, I'll send something over to him, and, you know, like if he's going up into town and he needs a receipt or something, I'll put it on his phone so they can scan it when he's in town or whatever. But that's the only thing he ever uses it for. So and then he'll go in and look and says, "Oh, this crap." So he dumps it all because it's all spam, you know how it is. But no, he's got no social media presence, no nothing online. So, yeah, good for him. I'm way past that.
Well, I run my own website and email because I'm an IT guy, and it's actually not easy to do in this day and age. It used to be a lot easier, but I have no social media presence at all either, so I'm with them. I don't do Facebook, I don't do Instagram. I do have a LinkedIn account because I'm an IT professional, and if you want people to entertain you as a job prospect, you kind of got to have a LinkedIn profile, but that's the only thing. That's the only one. But I don't really post there regularly. I just have, you know, it's not something I use regularly.
No, I don't do the Facebook, the Twitter, the this and that. I don't get involved in any of that. So, no, my main thing is just going online and looking for whatever it is I need to find and some email. And I'm not really, you know, too active on email either. Most of the stuff I get is all crap that I go through and delete. So, and you know, it's like, okay, enough of that, unsubscribe, blah, blah, blah. But, no, I'm not, I don't do any of that other stuff.
Yeah, I hear you. That's the way to go, in my opinion, but, you know, who am I? I'm just some guy in Birch Run, so.
Well, the thing for me is, it seems like such an enormous waste of time. Who's got time for all that stuff? So, I never got into it, and don't care to start now, but no, most of my stuff is just research, is what I do online, and a little bit of shopping.
Yeah, well, we get along well, because that's pretty much all I use it for is information that I can take in, aka research, or if I need to buy something of particular nature that's only available online, which is becoming increasingly the case because the brick and mortar stores are carrying less and less things because people are shopping online. That's fine. I can buy certain things online, but yeah, it's a different world, that's for sure.
Yeah, you got that right, and it's not getting any easier. Like you say, you know, sometimes just the simplest things that you're looking for, you can't find them in a brick-and-mortar store. And that annoys me, because back in the day, you used to be able to just go up into town and get what you need and come back home, and that's that, Bob's your uncle. But not anymore, and that does kind of annoy me, because you like to keep people in your community and business, but they're being run out. So, most of the stuff I do online is, it's like I said before, I was doing a lot of genealogy. I'm contacting, get a load of this, which is really kind of surprising. Sent an email out this morning to the National Archives in Norway, and
usually when you do something like that, you're waiting a week or two before you get a response. And the next thing I know, I turn around and there's an email on my box with this image that I'm looking for. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And so I emailed back and I says, okay, can I get this image too? And right away, I was stunned. So when it comes to stuff like that, I am all stuck in. So, oh, NACLC.
Well, those Nordic countries got their acts together on some things. They'll respond. Yeah, I've actually seen that before. Yeah, no, the online thing is great for tons of things. It's been a huge benefit to society, but it's also been a detriment to, because I think there's a lot of people who don't know how to operate without it in some aspects. Yeah, I had to, like, teach my daughter how to talk to people on the phone. Like, you have a problem? Like, you can't, it's not always resolvable online. You're going to have to call somebody. Like, you get a medical bill, issue, thing, something. You're going to have to call and spend 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, an hour on the phone with somebody trying to straighten it out. That's the way it goes. And sometimes they don't understand it until they have to.
And you're lucky if you can find somebody, a live, warm body, to talk to you. That is really annoying.
WAFFR.
Ryan!
Hey, is that NAVLC and, KFA, AYL, I hear out there? It's good to hear from you. How's my audio signal?
You sound like you're sitting in my living room.
You sound perfect to me.
Well, could I explain to you guys why that is?
Go right ahead. How's the new dig?
Well, considering as I'm currently in the living room, on my handheld, with my 14-inch antenna, and I'm hitting the Flint repeater, I think I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I don't know if Ken knows, but moved out Saturday, and my brother and I are now roommates, and man, it feels surreal. This is my house now. I live here.
So you're digging it, huh?
Exactly, just outside of Flint City. Like, I can see the city limits, so I stand on my porch. And, no, my brother knew, like, a guy who owns this house, so renting from him, and he was able to sidestep any management companies, and he worked out a deal with us directly. So we're very, very grateful for that, because he allowed us to move out of our parents' house quickly, and very low barrier to entry. So yeah, we are grateful. But how are y'all tonight?
Well, I'm doing well. How about you, Ken? You sound like you're doing okay.
Well, I'm doing just dandy up here in Birch Run. But yeah, if you're sitting in Flint on top of the repeater, yeah. No, you're sounding great, Ryan. No problems whatsoever. Full quieting. Perfect signal.
Bill says I'm 6 miles away, according to repeater book. So I don't know. I forget where the DOT 38 repeater is actually located.
This gets on top of McLaren.
I think there was a braking station there.
Where exactly are you located, Ryan?
Just south of M21 Corona Road and right next to 75. I could go outside and throw snowballs at cars on the interstate if I really wanted to.
Oh, so you got a clear shot to wherever, whatever direction you want to go in.
Yep, I now live in one of those neighborhoods that have been bisected by an interstate running through the heart of the city. So, yeah, 75 splits this neighborhood in half. But it's a nice little corner lot. It's got a lot of yard space. And again, the rent is not bad for two people. It's 925 split in half. So, again, I am so grateful for my brother for moving out with me to be able to make it easy to afford this while I get established, and then I'll take over basically the rent payment.
Well, congratulations. That's a big step, and I'm proud of both of you.
Yeah,
I'm wondering
that
if either
like
of y'all have
an right?
extra handheld you're willing to sell.
Congratulations.
So I can leave
on
this
one.
Handheld in my car,
not a bad area,
and I can have the one
either.
That I can keep in the house. So I don't have to run out to my car and grab this one.
You guys just doubled over top of each other. Ken, go ahead.
I just said congratulations, Ryan. That sounds like a good setup there. That's not a bad area, Flint. And yeah, you're practically on top of the repeater. I think that repeater is on top of McLaren, so that's not too far. Just south of you there.
That's what that braking station says. And with the thing on top of McLaren, it's a clear shot. I mean, no trees, no buildings. So I'm impressed with this handheld, to say the least.
So you're just using your rubber duck? That's all you're using right now?
No, the rubber duck's sitting in my drawer. It does nothing. I have the 14-inch aftermarket antenna. I forget what the brand is. It's a Diamond Sierra Romeo Hotel 77 Charlie Alpha. 14-inch antenna. And like I said, I'm in my living room talking on the repeater with a handheld. It's doing pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say, well, good on you. What was it you were saying? You were looking for a different radio?
This is W8FFR station ID. Just another handheld so I can leave this Yaesu in my car so I don't have to take it in and out. And just another handheld where I can just leave it in the house and when I want to talk on the radio, because it's highly unlikely we're going to get the 30-foot antenna tower over here from Lapeer to Flint. So, yeah. Which, I'm selling my Yaesu 2980, if anyone's interested, and 100-foot of coax for $250. Because my handhelds, they're doing the job. They're doing the job, and I'm very impressed.
Yeah, the Diamond SRJ77 is a great antenna for an HD. I got that on my AM HD as well. It's a great antenna.
They all doubled up there. I heard KFAAYL, but NABLC, go ahead.
No, all I asked was, I saw you had posted your radio on Slack. Did you get any other hits?
Negative.
Well, listen, guys, I'm going to have to let you go. This is NABLC. I'm going to go eat a little bit of dinner. Can you believe it's this late and I haven't even eaten yet? But anyway, nice talking to both of you. Ryan, don't be a stranger. I want to hear about your house. And if you need anything, let me know. I'm cleaning our house out. So maybe I've got something you guys can use. So catch me up tomorrow or whatever. NABLC, I'll talk to you and Ken later on. 7-3, you guys.
NABLC from W8FFR, 7-3. Enjoy your dinner. Kind of sad we're not neighbors anymore, but that's what the radio's for. So I'm sending 7-3. We will talk to you later.
Well, Ryan, where's there to eat around there? You got anything close?
Nice barbecue place down the road. They have live music there. I give them my name and number if they need a base there. And I'm literally sandwiched between Corona and Miller Road. So I could walk to any restaurant I want to as long as it's not like negative 3 degrees outside.
Yeah, that's a decent area of Flint to be in. So, you're good there. And you're practically on top of the repeater, so you shouldn't have any problems whatsoever.
Yeah, I was originally looking to move into the city of Flint, but I had to leave Elba Fire because obviously I don't live in Elba Township anymore. So the biggest factor between city or township is I'm attempting to join Flint Township Fire Department because they're like us. They're paid call volunteers. So I have a full-time job and I can still do firefighting on the side, something I can't do in Flint City since they're full-time career.
Ah, pretty interesting, yeah. Yeah, I used to know a Flint Township police person, but I mean, we're talking 15 years ago, so he lives up north now, so. But yeah, no, that's a good area. I think you'll be good there.
Yeah, I just got to figure out what to do because they bumped my start date at my new job from today to next Monday. So I literally have this whole week. So yeah, I'm going to go out and meet some neighbors at some point. Got to make time to do that. Problem is, it's so cold, don't want to be outside for more than 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's pretty cold for walking around right now, but there's lots of events around there, so you'll have plenty of opportunities, that's for sure.
Get a bottle of schnapps.
Go ahead, breaking station. Any other stations out there want to get in on the conversation? This is Whiskey 8 Foxtrot, Foxtrot Romeo.
KF5INT.
KF5INT, this is W8FFR. I hear you loud and clear. Welcome to the party.
Well, I happen to hear somebody say they were looking for extra handheld. I've got an extra handheld I donated to the cause. I do not have an extra charger, I don't think, for a ball thing. I'll have to look around, but I was donated to the cause, especially for a fellow Lapeer County person. I used to live in Hadley before I moved to Flint City, KM5INT.
No way. I was on the Hadley-Elba border in my parents' house, so I was not far from Hadley. I would bicycle there by the back roads as a kid, but yeah, I would greatly appreciate any radio equipment. And yeah, and you're in Flint City, so you're not too far from me, the W8FFR Station 90.
Yeah, I don't drive, so you would have to come to me, but I live real close to Whiting Auditorium and the Flint City Library, so, you know, since I've had my stroke, I don't have a vehicle, I still have my license, but if you were on the Elba Fire, you probably knew John Rutherford.
Unfortunately, that was before my time.
Okay, well, I used to live on Hadley Road just north of Pratt. In fact, my old farm is now with subdivision. I think the name of the road is my last name. It's just right there, just north of town, KF5INT.
I know which subdivision you're talking about. The one that runs west off of Hadley Road.
Yep, correct. That's my old farm. So, but I'll look around here. I may even have a charger for this radio. And if you happen to have an extra fire patch, I would definitely take it off your hands because I collect that kind of stuff, being a ex-EMT and ex-reserve police officer from Atlas Township.
Unfortunately, my elbow really doesn't give out badges. It's kind of like a rare trading card. Only on special occasions will you ever get your hand on one. So, unfortunately, I ain't got any patches because I would have loved to have one myself. But trying to get my old helmet shield.
Ah, very good, very good. Well, I didn't mean to interrupt you guys' conversation. I heard somebody out there say they were looking for another radio, and I used to, when I was down in New Orleans, I bought a used ambulance, and we stocked it up with radio gear and called it a Hamblance, so I've got a lot of stuff left over from that thing, so I can turn loose with one of these radios down. Probably I got about 5 or 6 of them. So if it helps somebody out, so be it. KM5INT.
I appreciate that, KF5INT. I'll be up tomorrow morning, and I'll hop on the radio. So I should be up. I'm planning on being up somewhere around 8 or 9, because I got to go to the, I'm meeting with the Flint Township Fire tomorrow at some time for interviews and all that. So I will hit you up on the radio, and I greatly appreciate you being willing to part with one of your handhelds. So I'm a 1073, KF5INT from W8FFR. You have a wonderful night, sir. I appreciate the offer. And KFAYL, you still out there?
Yeah, affirmative. I'm still here, but I need to go in for the night here, so I'll say 73 for tonight here, Ryan. Good to hear from you. Glad you got sounds like a new setup there, and wish you well. Clear on your final, KF8AYL.
KF8AYL from W8FFR. It's good to talk to you again, Ken. And, yeah, it's good to know I can hit the repeater from inside the house, so I could be on the radio much more than if it's just sitting in my car. So I'm sending 73 to you and anyone else who may have listened tonight. You all have a wonderful night. This is with Yates, Foxtrot, Foxtrot, Romeo. I am clear of this frequency.
I was going to let you know, I don't normally hang out on this frequency, but usually if you get down this way, there's another hand that lives in the building. We both stand by on 5-2 Simplex. So, you know, we can talk with each other, but 5-2 Simplex is generally where you'll catch us if you want to make contact with me. I'll let you go and get back to what I was doing here. KF5INT, you have a fine one.
Good evening, 21 hours, clear, 6 degrees. Good evening, 22 hours, clear, 3 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours, clear, 3 degrees.